Very beautifully sung. And some great words. I wonder if you noticed them. For the joy of the world, you were born. What does that mean? Well, that reading we had a little earlier. The angels saying to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all the people. What is this joy that Jesus claimed to bring? We certainly all need some joy at this time of year. The days are short and often cold and dark. And some of us look back on a year perhaps has been a very difficult year. Bereavement, ill health. Even if you had a good year, it's hard to think that there hasn't been something of a dark cloud hovering over 2017 in the wider world. It's been a time of great instability, economically certainly, politically. There's a polarization going on domestically and around the world. We need some joy. And maybe that's why you're here. You're searching for joy. Maybe you want to find it in the Christmas spirit. And putting up the tree and the decorations, putting up the stocking, singing some carols. It's all part of the package. And we're very happy to play our part in hopefully helping to give you something of the Christmas spirit. But I'll be honest with you, we've got a much, much more ambitious aim. Because our longing is that we discover this evening not just the Christmas spirit, but the spirit of Christ. There's a difference. The Christmas spirit hopefully gives us a sense of joy, but let's be honest, it doesn't last. There comes a time when the tree must be put away, decorations come down, the family and friends disperse, and normal routine continues. We're back to school or college or work. But there is a difference. If we discover what Jesus Christ offers by his Spirit, because he's alive today, we can know a joy that in all the ups and downs of life will never disappear. And it's a joy that nothing else can give. I wonder if that is intriguing or perhaps a bit surprising. Even at Christmas time, we often forget the one who we're supposed to be celebrating. The teacher asked a primary school class, who was born in a stable and went on to be known all over the world? And one little child put her hand up and she said, was it Red Rum? Well, no. It's Jesus Christ. And we're not just remembering some mysterious event in the mists of time that has no relevance today. The Christian claim is he can offer a joy that we can find nowhere else. Quite a claim, I know. How can he do that? Well, because he fulfills our deepest longings. That's the Christian claim. And he meets our greatest need. First, he fulfills our deepest longings. 5 years ago, Voyager 1 was the first human-made object to enter interstellar space. And on board was a message for anyone or anything that it encountered. There was a team that was put together to try and think, what message would we deliver to anything out there? And one of the team members responsible immediately thought, as she was thinking about what to put in there, Beethoven's Cavatina movement from his Opus 130, against which he'd put the German word Sehnsucht, which means longing. And this lady who was responsible for ensuring that that piece of music was included in this message, said later, part of what we wanted to capture in the message is the great longing we feel, which is fascinating. It's as if NASA's scientists are saying, this is who we are as human beings. We are creatures of longing. It's hard to deny the truth of that. There's a universal ache, a hungry void in the human heart. And we'll look all over the place to try and fill that void. In a materialistic age, we look to the shops, perhaps, as if buying things will fill us up. Harrods, a number of years ago, issued a Christmas catalogue that began, I joke not, with these very words. Rejoice! Christmas is coming to Harrods. Joyful and triumphant, in a blaze of splendor. Harrods is brimful of comfort and joy, overflowing with grandeur. Let the glory of Christmas ring out. It's an astonishingly confident claim. But is that really what the joy of Christmas is all about? The amazing variety of goods and opulence of them in Harrods and other stores like it. The advertisers certainly make those claims, don't they? I went to Selfridges in London one New Year, a few years ago, and outside it was a very large banner. It said, "Buy me, I'll change your life." It's quite a claim. But let's be honest, no matter how much we buy, we're always left wanting more. Possessions cannot deliver the lasting joy we long for. So perhaps we look for achievement and success, getting those results academically, going up the career ladder. We think that they'll give us the satisfaction we long for. That almost inevitably leads to disillusionment at some point, very often in midlife. People talk about the midlife crisis. It comes at different stages. But the idea is it really comes when people have had these dreams and they just assume, by this stage of life, I'll have done this, I'll have achieved that, and then they get to that stage of life and they haven't done it and they realize they never are. And that's when disillusionment sets in, the midlife crisis. But actually, just as common is a different cause of the midlife crisis. It's when someone has achieved all the dreams that realistically they imagine they would achieve, they've got there, and it still hasn't done it for them. There's still an emptiness deep within. We human beings are unique. Other creatures have desires for food, for comfort, for a mate. And if those desires are met, they're happy. But uniquely, human beings can find that all our desires are met and yet still find we're dissatisfied. Why is that? It's because we're not simply material beings with physical longings, but we're spiritual beings made in the image of God to relate to Him. And starved of that relationship, there is a hunger and a thirst deep within that nothing else can satisfy. That's the ultimate source of longing in our hearts. And that's why Jesus Christ came that first Christmas. It's for the joy of the world that He came. That He might reconnect us with God, that we might know the one for whom we were made and discover the joy for which we were created. Some of you will remember Malcolm Muggeridge, an acclaimed journalist and television personality in the later part of the 20th century. Towards the end of his life, he became a Christian. He wrote these words, "I may, I suppose, regard myself as a relatively successful man. People sometimes stare at me in the streets. That's fame. I can fairly easily earn enough to qualify for admission to the highest slopes of the Inland Revenue. That's success. Furnished with money and even a little fame, even the elderly, if they care to, may partake of trendy diversions. That's pleasure. It might happen once in a while that something I wrote was sufficiently heeded for me to persuade myself that it represented a serious impact on our time. That's fulfillment. Yet I say to you, and beg you to believe me, multiply these tiny triumphs by a million, add them all together, and they are nothing and less than nothing measured against the one draught of that living water that Christ offers to the spiritually thirsty." Good news that will bring great joy. Jesus fulfills our deepest longing, and He meets our greatest need. There was an elderly lady, and she was looking at herself in the mirror just before she went to bed, and she said out loud, "Look at me. My hair's failing out, and my teeth. There are bags under my eyes. Everything's sagging." And her husband just carried on reading in bed, not saying anything. And after a while, she said, "Say something encouraging." And he stopped and said, "Well, obviously your eyesight's still good." "Well, what do you see when you look in the mirror?" "Perhaps it's a bit discouraging. You see spots and wrinkles and graying hair. Or perhaps you think, well, it's rather nice." "But what do you see when you keep looking underneath the externals. We are capable of much, much good, of love and kindness and generosity. And yet as I look in the mirror, I know when I look long and hard beneath the externals, what I see is certainly also an ugliness within. Because alongside the good things I'm capable of doing, I'm capable of lust and greed and selfishness and cruelty and jealousy. And I take it you're not very dissimilar. This time of year, when we were children, we'd often visit relatives. We had a nice garden. We'd be out playing in the garden, and inevitably there'd be mud all over our clothes, often over our faces. We'd come in, and Mum would say, "You can't possibly go and see Aunt Nora like that. Go and have a wash and change your clothes." Well, Christianity is not saying to us, you can't possibly approach God like that, with that ugliness within. You can sort yourself out, get some new clothes, have a wash, because I actually can't wash myself deep within. I've tried plenty of times. Quite often at this time of year, it's a self-reflection time, isn't it? I look back and I think, I don't want to do that again. I keep messing things up. It's a strange thing, isn't it? And it's most obvious at this time of year that sometimes we just don't seem to be able to get on as we should with the people we love the most. And I've said, I've got to sort that out. Well, there's other things in my life. And I try and, as it were, put some new clothes on, wash myself within. I can't do it. Not sufficiently. Not so I'm acceptable to a God who's absolutely perfect. See, the Christmas message is not sort yourself out, have a wash, put on some new clothes, and then you'll be right with God. I'll never be able to do enough. The Christmas message, the Christian message, is not about what we do for God, but God taking the initiative, coming all the way down from heaven to earth in the person of his Son, seeking out those who do not deserve to be his friends. Someone once said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent a savior. There's a man who was giving a series of talks about the Christian faith at a university. He was about to give the last talk, and just before he got up, he noticed a young woman came in through the door at the back. These are the days when you could smoke in a public space, and she was just smoking, looking quite angry, as if she didn't really want to be there. And she just stood out, and this man said to the leader of the meeting, "I can't help noticing that girl. Do you know her?" And she said, "Oh, well, everyone knows her. She's known throughout the university. She lives a wild life. She's never been to a Christian meeting before." Well, this man began to explain the Christian message. He spoke of Jesus Christ, his astonishing life, an amazing love. And the young woman was compelled by him. And the more she thought about it, the more she thought, someone who lives like that, who speaks like that, who performs those kind of miracles, he can't be just a man. He is who he claims to be. And then the speaker explained how Jesus Christ came so that we could be reconnected with God. And she thought, I want that. And all the longings of her heart were focused on knowing this God who'd revealed himself in Christ. But then she thought, well, there's no way I could possibly know him. There's no way he'd accept me after the kind of life I've lived. But then the speaker continued and spoke of how Jesus wasn't just born in a manger, but he then lived a perfect life and headed quite deliberately to Jerusalem and to death on a cross. And he died not for his own wrongdoing. He did nothing wrong. Though on that cross, all the mess and ugliness of our lives, he, as it were, took upon himself, and he took responsibility so that if we trust in him, we needn't face God's anger, which is what we deserve. But simply through faith in him, we can be acceptable to God. And the speaker said, anyone who wants to, they could receive this amazing gift of friendship with God, our greatest need tonight. And she explained a little prayer that they could pray.
Lord Jesus, please forgive me for the things I've done wrong. I don't deserve to be your friend. Thank you for dying for me. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. Then he said, if anyone prayed that prayer, I'd love to meet with you afterwards. And the first person who came was the woman from the back. They agreed to meet the next day. And she came to the room and she just looked different. And the speaker said, I was told that you had something of a reputation. She said, oh, I've lived a terrible life. There was nothing I wouldn't do. But she said, you know, all along I felt as guilty as hell. And then last night I heard that I could be forgiven. She said, I've never known a joy like it. I couldn't stop crying. Not tears of sadness, just tears of joy. And she began a whole new life with Jesus right at the center. See, if you come to know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, not just the Spirit of Christmas, that's what he can do. He does not promise to take away all the problems of the world. He doesn't promise to heal us of diseases necessarily. He doesn't promise to give us a job and lots of money. But in all the ups and downs of life, and there'll be ups and downs in 2018, he promises to be with us. And through it all, we can know that we're loved, we've been accepted, and we've got a certain hope for the future. Just last night, one of our much-loved members, Pat Phipps, died. I'd known Pat for nearly 30 years. And in all that time, she had a very difficult life. She was disabled. She was in almost constant pain. Earlier, when he was still quite young, Pat and Gerald's only son died. Then their grandchildren were brought up by others, and they lost contact, and they never had a relationship with their grandchildren. Gerald died. So there's bereavement. There was constant pain. And in later life, she had to leave her home. She was in a nursing home. Every time I went to see her, I came away with a spring in my step. Because through it all, there was a joy. And that is promised. Not by the spirit of Christmas. That lasts a few days and disappears. But it's promised by the Spirit of Christ. So I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope you do capture that Christmas spirit. But above all, our longing for you is you'd know the Jesus who came. Do take away that little insert and have a look at the Bible. Maybe ask a friend to look at it with you and try and find it a bit more. And I'd love you to take, as you leave, a little booklet. It's called Christmas in Three Words that I wrote a few years ago. And there's a prayer in there, the kind of prayer that that young lady prayed. Changed her life. It's changed many lives over the years. May you have a very happy Christmas.